So, next, I think it's supposed to take you further out. Let me go. You may know that there's more to the universe than the solar system. Well, that was supposed to take us deeper out with the Hubble. This takes us into astronomy. In fact, very soon we'll launch a major infrared observatory. In fact, the only infrared observatory there has been was, again, European, ISO. The Americans have an infrared observatory, sort of, so to speak, on the stocks, and it should be launched probably within the next 2 months. The launch date tends to be always within the next 2 months and moves into the future at the same rate as we do, but I do believe it will be launched soon. ISO was launched in 1996, and in fact, without being too boastful about it, I think it is an... the Americans tried to get us to cooperate with them on this spacecraft that will be launched next month, or maybe the month after. We launched ISO in 1996, so we got 7 years advance on them by doing that, by not cooperating. In fact, what's the difference between looking at the world through infrared eyes and through visible eyes, the eyes that you have in your, using the wave bands that you use with your regular eyesight? Well, this illustrates it. In fact, this is an image of the famous image of the from the Hubble Space Telescope, showing star-forming regions in the Eagle Nebula on the right-hand side, and on the left-hand side, in fact, the same region on a slightly different scale. But I think you can actually see the same structures here. This structure here is this structure here with the three fingers. In the infrared. Looking in the infrared allows you to see really different phenomena, because you're looking effectively at different temperature regions. It allows you to see the cooler regions, and indeed also the regions where stars are forming and heating the surrounding dust. You see the dust lighting up with infrared light. You're all glowing in the infrared, actually, so it tells you the kind of temperature we're talking about. It's room temperature. At room temperature, everybody radiates in the infrared. And I'm sitting here looking at all your infrared radiation, I suppose. We've really done an enormous amount by taking visible images from Hubble and comparing them with the infrared images derived from ISO, and in future from our Herschel mission. In fact, here are the missions that are coming up. Integral's already launched, but it's still on this list of upcoming missions. The next mission we launch in astronomy will be Herschel, named after if you're German, it's named after a German. If you're English, it's named after an Englishman. It's the same man either way round, Sir William Herschel, who was the man who first detected or proved the existence of infrared light. Planck actually will be launched at the same time as Herschel, and is going to look at the cosmic microwave background. There's a new American spacecraft called MAP, and we're going to go at least an order of magnitude better than that in mapping the sky in a detail, looking at the cosmic microwave background, looking for fine structure in that. It's actually very uniform, the cosmic microwave background, and it's the echo, it's the hiss that remains from the Big Bang at the beginning of time. Well, there are very subtle ripples in it, one part in 10 to the 6, a part in a million, as you look across the sky, that contain incredible clues about, first of all, the way matter formed into clumps in our universe. Maybe it started uniform, but somehow it ended up clumpy, of which you all are evidence. The Earth is much more dense than most of the universe, for example. How did the matter come together like that? At the same time, it could cause us to change our view of whether we understand physics or not. At the moment, the jury is tending towards the view that we do understand the standard model, as it's called, of nuclear physics. But I say the jury really should be out yet, and we may change. Three more missions here. NASA's James Webb telescope, Europe, I've just got agreement from my member states that we're going to go into that 15 to 20% share. In particular, we're going to do something that's highly controversial. Europe's going to launch that, and the Americans are going to let us launch their flagship. It'll be launched on an Ariane 5 around 2010 or 11. My bet's on 11. The Americans claim 210, but it's always good to recognize the tendency for Americans to exaggerate. Gaia launched around the same time. In fact, maybe it'll be a year or two after, is a very complicated mission to do something. It's to count the stars in our galaxy, not just to count them, but also to follow them. And if you follow the stars in our galaxy, you can follow the things you can't see. The stars are the things you can see in the galaxy. In between, with a distribution we do not understand, is also something that's massive that we haven't identified. We know that the bulk of the mass of our galaxy is in dark matter, which is hidden, doesn't radiate in a way that we can yet detect. Gaia, by mapping in detail the motions of our galaxy, will tell us also about the dark matter, the matter we can't see in our galaxy. It could change our notion of physics. It certainly will change our notion of how our galaxy is formed. It's the ultimate mission in something called astrometry. That's measuring the position of stars. And of course, astronomy began with astrometry, with Hipparchos. And for many years, astronomy was no more than measuring the position of stars. The third mission there, Eddington, is one I'm extremely fond of. It's named after an Englishman, Sir Arthur Eddington. Some of you, I'm sure, have heard of him. He's important to me because he was an inspiration to my mother during her childhood, which led her to an interest in astronomy, which led me to an interest in astronomy. I can assure you I wouldn't be here now if my mother hadn't done something to persuade me that this was a good idea. So Eddington I'm fond of because certainly had an influence on my mother. Eddington is to do something Sir Arthur Eddington nearly 100 years ago said, if only we could see inside stars. And if you were paying attention earlier on, you know that we can see inside one star, the Sun, with helioseismology. Eddington is to start the science of astroseismology, to look inside stars, using the very slight variations in light from the star to deduce the seismic signals inside the interior of the star. At the same time, because we're building very sensitive photometers to measure the light from the star, we'll be able to watch for changes in light associated with planets going across the face of the star.